Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Before we get stuck into the passage, let's pray for a moment. Lord, we're here in our homes, ready for you to speak to us this morning. Please speak directly through your word so that we might know you are here and that we might be changed. Amen. So we've heard Psalm 51 read to us already, and I don't know how you find it is concentrating on the service at home, but there can be plenty of distractions, particularly in some cases with family around, so I want to keep it really clear and simple today. We've had the 12 verses read, but we're going to focus in on verses 10 to 12. These are the words, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So three verses, and we're going to make it even more straightforward by highlighting just three key words from those verses. So I hope you'll all be able to remember these three words by the end of today. The words are create, renew, and restore. Create, renew, and restore. As I've reflected on these words, I believe that God may have something really important to speak to me from these verses, and I hope also to you. Do we need God to create something new in our lives? Do we need him to bring renewal? And do we need to have something restored to us today? Very briefly, the context for this psalm, a psalm of David, is one in which David has messed up big time. We're bursting into the middle of his prayer for forgiveness. He has spoken a lot about his sin. We've missed at least 11 references to his sin and his wickedness. I'm glad that's not our focus in the message today, though it's worth us taking some time to reflect on what he had to say and how he reflected on how he had let himself down, how he had let God down, how he had let others down. And perhaps as we look honestly into our own hearts, we too know that we have fallen short of God's standards. In many ways, we stand with David and say, "David, we're with you. David, we see you. David is frustrated. David is sorry. David wants things to change from here on." And we break in as he says these words, "Create in me a pure heart, O God," or "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Let's think about the word "create," first of all. Maybe write it down. Maybe children or adults can draw that word "create." And linked to it, think of the word "creativity." We have a creative God. And I wonder if this can be a real season of creativity for us. This difficult time of coronavirus, could it also be a time of creativity? For some businesses, we've seen a tremendous outpouring of creativity. Manufacturing companies previously making cars are making ventilators for the NHS. Fashion companies are making gowns as personal protective equipment. And gin distilleries have stopped making gin and are making things like this, hand sanitizers, given that we're all so desperate to have clean hands at this time in order to stop the spread of coronavirus. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about the creative work that God wants to do in our lives when we come to him and when we believe in him. Verse 10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Think for a minute about the creativity that goes into making a masterpiece. Weeks, months, maybe a lifetime of effort goes into making that priceless masterpiece. Isn't it amazing to think that God wants to do the same creative work in our lives so that we are his masterpieces? And living through this time with coronavirus is all part of the creative work that he wants to do in our lives, or at least it can be if we let him do it. Part of God's creative work is, as David prayed, to give us clean and pure hearts. I think it's really interesting that when Jesus was walking here on earth, and he approached those who everybody else regarded as completely unclean, particularly those with leprosy in that day, Jesus went to them and he touched them. In touching them, he did not make himself unclean. Rather, he made them clean. And there's something about an encounter with Jesus that makes us clean, if only we will allow him to do that in our lives. I've been really enjoying what must be one of the simplest Hillsong songs that I've come across called Clean. Give it a listen afterwards. It's one sung with pretty much no musical accompaniment at all, and it says this: precious blood has left me forgiven, pure like the whitest of snow, powerful to make sin and shame retreat. This covenant is making me whole. So I will rise and lift my head, for by his mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Purify my heart in your presence. Teach me to discover the joy of holiness that forms as you draw me close. In you, what was lost is restored. Do we want to be clean? Can we echo the prayer of David the psalmist as he said, God, create in me a clean heart? Do we long not just to have clean hands as we wash our hands thoroughly and apply hand sanitizer? Do we long to have clean hearts? But before we leave this first word, create, I think it's important that God doesn't just want to create clean hearts so that they are sterile and maybe a little bit empty. Rather, as the verse in Ephesians makes clear, God gives us clean hearts and then fills us up with good things to do with our hearts and with our lives that he has cleaned. He comes and he takes away the rubbish and the junk if we allow him. And in its place, he gives us good things to do, things that will fill our lives and enable us to bless others. First word then, create. The second word David prays is renew. And he says, God, just as I want you to create in me a clean heart, would you please renew a steadfast spirit? What does renewal mean to you this morning? As I've been reflecting on the words, I've been thinking about this beautiful season of springtime. For months, the trees have been bare, or at least many of them have. But in recent weeks, as we've been perhaps going about our daily exercise, as we're allowed to do, and hopefully most of us are able to do, we've seen blossom appear on the trees. I've been struck by how quickly the fields are full of crops. The gallops behind Kirk Liston, which we've been walking recently, were green a couple of weeks ago, and now we see those yellow crops. Even in our garden, which is quite a feat, we've seen some flowers appearing. I wonder if some of you immediately recognise what sort of plant I have on the table with me here. I'll bring it a little bit closer. Any guesses as to what this is? Well, it's a pear tree. Now, I have to confess, we've had this in our garden for about 6 years. We have not yet seen a pear, but I'm delighted that we are at least seeing some of these beautiful flowers. And if any of you have ideas on how we can move on and see some pears after the flowers, then do let me know. You might tell me probably cutting them isn't really the best idea, but never mind. I wanted to share this with you this morning. Springtime a time of renewal, a season where after the cold, dark winter, we see flowers grow and we see new hope spring to life. And my prayer, as I've been thinking about just this word, renewal, is that for some of us, we might feel that there's been a season of winter. But just as we see the seasons change, we might experience in our hearts and in our lives, even at this time of coronavirus, something of renewal. What was the sort of renewal that David really wanted to experience as he prayed this prayer of repentance? Well, he says, renew me, God, and give me a steadfast spirit. And as I was thinking about the word steadfast, I was reminded of the Boys Brigade motto. Some of you maybe know that motto. Three words, the motto, sure and steadfast. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And it's referring to our hope in God. And it says, we have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. If there's any Boys Brigade young people listening to this, I hope you already knew that motto. But there's David praying that he would have a new sense of real steadfast hope in God. And I think it's quite relevant that the image on that BB motto, as they think about being steadfast, is that of an anchor. As I was thinking about this, I was introduced to a new band and a new song. It's a band called Skillet, and the song is called Anchor. And let me just repeat a few of the words. It says, you are my anchor, so steady me now. In angry oceans, you've never broken. Through every wave of the storm, you are my anchor, so steady me now. I think at this season, God wants us to be firmly anchored in his love, in his goodness, in the absolute certainty that he is for us at this time. If that's where we can really dig our anchor into, those truths about God and who he is and what he has done for us, then I think we will be able to be much more steadfast and to experience renewal at this time. So are we rooted in the absolute truth, as Ephesians 3:17 says in the New Living Translation, which I absolutely love the way it puts it? It says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Or if we were using the image of the anchor, we would say, put that anchor down deep into the truth of God's incredible love towards us. We've been in Kirkliston for about 14 years now, as you may still be able to tell from my accent. I'm from the west of Scotland, not from here. And yet it's been interesting, perhaps particularly through this period of the coronavirus, to feel much more rooted in Kirkliston. And that's partly because we're not really going anywhere else. We can't. So the car's there in the driveway. And what we're doing is at times really enjoying the fields round about, the opportunities to ride our bike on the paths, to connect a bit more with neighbours, and of course to connect with the church family, albeit through virtual means rather than meeting in person. But we feel more rooted and anchored in Kirkliston because we're not going anywhere else. We're staying here day and night. We're not travelling to work or anything like it. And I hope that we might also know what it is at this time to be firmly anchored in God's love and goodness. And for that to be the thing that allows us to be really, really steadfast and to experience some renewal in our lives. Maybe we're feeling a bit shaky at the moment. Maybe it feels like I'm being a bit too positive about the current situation. And I can absolutely appreciate why that may be the case. For many, this is an incredibly hard situation. Lives have been lost. Jobs have been lost. There is great uncertainty as to the future for many. But then an anchor is needed in the storm. An anchor is especially important when we are feeling shaky. So let's pause and pray, not just that God would create new things in our lives, but that God would really bring about renewal in our lives and help us to be really steadfast as we seek to anchor our lives in Him and in His goodness. Finally, the final word, I promised we'd have three key words, and the final word that David prayed was that God would restore the joy of His salvation. So create, renew, restore. Restore, says David, the joy of my salvation. I've been thinking a bit about restoration, and I came across a story about restoration that I really liked. In 2012, Cecilia Gimenez, I think I've got her name roughly right, decided to attempt a restoration of a priceless image that appeared in the church that she often visited in a Spanish town called Borja. And this image called Ecce Homo, Behold the Man, an image of Jesus, had become a bit weathered through the years. And she, with the blessing of her priest, set about a loving task of restoring this image. Well, you may be able to see a better quality image if you want to look it up. But after much work, the product of her labours led to wide-scale ridicule and derision all around. Her attempts at restoration basically were a complete failure, and she ended up pretty much destroying what had been this priceless image. But the funny thing is that despite her disastrous restoration of the Ecce Homo painting, what actually happened was there was so much international coverage of her somewhat futile attempts that everybody started to come. They flocked to Borja. TV programmes were made, dramas were made, all about Cecilia's attempts to restore the painting. And so although it wasn't restored, and rather in many ways it was damaged irreparably, the fortunes of Borja were completely turned around as everybody flocked to see what Cecilia had managed to do. And I'm really conscious that we're at a point where many of us may feel this is not a time of restoration, this is a time of catastrophe. But I trust that in the midst of that, we might be able to enter into something that the psalmist was praying about as he said, restore God, I've lost lots, but restore joy. Restore the joy of my salvation. And I don't think that there is anything about this time, for all its difficulties, that should prevent us coming to God and saying, God, please restore joy at this time. God is willing to restore joy to us if that is something we've lost. If you look at the three verses, David was clearly really doubtful as to whether God would ever allow him to have joy restored. He really feared losing the Holy Spirit and losing the presence of God. And so in verse 11, he says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. What about us? Do we sometimes fear that God is no longer near? Well, as I've been reflecting on that question, my mind has turned to the wonderful story in Luke 15, one of my favourite parts of the Bible, where Jesus tells the story of the younger son who fled the father's house. He walked away from his father. He ended up in that pig farm. We know the story, I'm sure. And what happened? As soon as he decided to take the step back to his father who had been looking for him all the time, saw him take those perhaps tentative steps and ran and threw his arms around him and placed the ring on his finger and killed the calf and arranged the tremendous party. I tell you, there was no social distancing at that party. They were close. They were rejoicing. That was a place of true joy and celebration. I believe that God wants us to have deep, true joy in Him. And that if we've lost it, today can be a day where if we truly ask Him, He will restore to us the joy of His salvation. He's never left, just like the Father didn't leave the Son. As we come to Him, He runs to meet us and He rejoices over us. There's so much in the Bible about our walk with God, intending to be something that is not dreary, not rule-keeping, but something that is full of joy. James chapter 1, verse 2, when troubles come, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. I wonder if some of us at this time are realizing that our joy has been too closely associated with our personal circumstances, too closely associated with all the stuff we're doing, the activities we have, the places we have to go, the holidays we're looking forward to, the work that we're dashing around doing. Maybe at this point, God says to us, this is a time where I want to restore to you the joy that comes from just being in my presence, from knowing that you're my child, and from allowing me to really rejoice over you. So let's have real joy in the relationships we have with those round about us. Let's have joy as we see spring coming and winter passing. But let's ask God to restore to us the joy of our salvation today. I wonder if the key to that restoration of joy is in going back to that picture, Ecce Homo. Not focusing on the picture, but focusing now on the title. The title goes back to the words that Pilate used as Jesus had been tried, and he used these words, Ecce Homo, behold the man. Isn't it the case that if we truly turn our eyes on Jesus, as Hebrews 12 says, keep our eyes on Jesus and keep our minds on Jesus at this time. That is how we can know what it is to have God create something incredible in our lives, to have God renew great things in our lives, and to have God restore joy into our lives today. Thanks so much for listening and being part of this. Let's close by praying together. God, create clean hearts in us. Renew steadfast spirits in us. And restore to us the joy of your salvation, we pray. Amen.